Hi, this is Justine Toe and welcome to Life and Faith. Well, last time we began to discuss this question of the impact that Christianity has had on Western culture. And of course, this is in light of the various criticisms that are made that suggest that Christianity has brought, you know, nothing but bad stuff into the world, and that it's time to shrug off belief and questions of faith and move on to something else. So we spoke about the way that Christianity has shaped the Western world in profound ways. And while there have been some things that we would rather were not part of the history, there have been plenty of ways in which our society has really benefited from the influence of Christianity. So we're going to continue that discussion today, and Simon Smart is here with me to do that. Hey, Simon.
Hi, Justin.
Now, last time you talked about the influence of Christianity on cultural pursuits, right, like literature and art, but also music, and we touched on education and architecture as well. We'll continue that discussion today, but it's also worth considering what the average Australian thinks about the legacy of Christianity.
That latent morality that's there, that's come probably from our Christian heritage, and I've noticed this travelling to other parts of the world with different heritages, is that actually there's a quite different cultural sense of things that are right and wrong that maybe comes from not having that background.
You know, for Christianity, I think it sort of teaches people right from wrong and, you know, basically to do the right thing. So, you know, I think any sort of Christianity religion, I think, leads, you know, people down the right path.
Primarily, I think it has laid the building blocks for society. A lot of the foundational aspects society is built on are based from Christian principles, ethical behaviour. If we didn't have some kind of standard to compare our behaviour to, we wouldn't have society as it is, and that's where Christianity comes in.
It's brought meaning and a sense of purpose to many, many people, and then it's also been responsible for terrible wars. So, you know, it's one bit of one and bit of the other.
Christianity has had quite significant influence in Western society around the abolition of slavery, influence around charity and helping the poor, which I don't think has stopped.
So today we're going to go a little deeper and delve into the legacy of the Christian worldview. Now, ironically, given how, you know, the discussion of faith and science goes these days, it now seems clear that Christianity has had a vital influence in the growth of modern science. Is that right, Simon?
That is right. And despite these modern controversies that would have us believe that faith and science are kind of intractable enemies, there's plenty of scholars around today in the world that now argue that it was the Christian worldview itself that provided the groundwork for the growth of modern science. So someone like Professor Peter Harrison from Oxford University, he's one that would argue that. Edwin Judge from Macquarie University here in Australia is another. Rodney Stark from Washington University says the same sorts of things. And even, I noticed recently, Richard Dawkins acknowledged that this is the case, that Christianity was very important for the growth of modern science. So too often we get this idea that this sort of golden age of Greek science came to an abrupt end at the hands of the church's war on reason. You know, that's the sort of narrative you often get, but it's nonsense. The fact is that what we mean by modern science, these guiding principles, the desire to unite a theory to an empirical discovery, and also trust in a unified set of physical laws, came into existence only within Christendom and at the hands of believing Christians. So we mustn't forget that the birth of modern physics and cosmology was achieved by Galileo, Kepler, Newton, others, and they were breaking free not from the sort of confines of faith, but in fact breaking free from Greek science.
So that has actually been a contribution that Christianity has made, you know, science, who would have thought, right? So far we've been speaking of some, you know, tangible results of the Christian story, many of which we're really glad for. I'm glad that science exists. But I want to move on to other profound ways that the Jesus story has altered the way that we see ourselves and also each other. Now, we've talked before on this program about how something that we think is a really important virtue, humility, right, comes directly from the Christian story.
John Dixon, our colleague, wrote famously the book Humilitas. Also, Professor Edwin Judge from Macquarie University, the Ancient History Department, he has shown how the story of Christianity radically altered what was previously regarded as a shameful thing, not a virtue at all, humility. And in the Greco-Roman culture, there's a strong sense that the correct, rational and justified sort of order of things was the poor people staying at the bottom of the heap where they belong, and those of limited ability, that's where they belong, and it's the people at the top of the heap who have the wealth, the ability, the skills and so on, they're the ones we should be kind of proud of. And in the early centuries of Christianity, there was great criticism by educated people, actually, because they thought it was immoral. It's so ironic, all of this. They thought it was immoral to be worrying about people who were simply just simply living their proper sort of station in life.
It works well for them, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And this positive view of humility comes out of the Jewish tradition of the poor, as the poor being the ones that God loves. And this was kind of turbocharged by Christianity, upending the established order and providing this enormous challenge to what we might describe as the honour-shame culture of the ancient world. In the ancient world, honour was thought of as an ethical good. It was right and proper to increase your honour, to seek to do that and have honour that was due to you proclaimed. So in Cicero, his famous writer, in his view, the community actually owed to its great men, to celebrate them and remember them. So it was a culture that presumed the superior goodness of people who were stronger. Totally inverse to how we would at least hope to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a serious departure from the way that we think today. You know, we actually root for the underdog. We have whole genres of stories dedicated to lifting up the powerless. And humility is considered, you know, a good thing. And you're saying that Christianity is the reason why.
Yes, it's a gift of Christianity to the world. In the ancient world, this grotesque, and this is where it comes back to, yeah, incidentally, this grotesque execution of Jesus was thought of as the worst possible type of humiliation, and that it couldn't possibly have anything to do with divinity, to being like God. But as time went on and the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection became apparent, this humiliation became thought of as profoundly meaningful. It's salvation itself in this story. So the low point becomes the high point.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
I think religion is really good because, you know, churches, they really help families in need and stuff, and they're always there for them, and they take in homeless people. But then again, extremists of any religion is bad. So I think in that sense, it's really bad, and false hope as well. But then I think it's good for people to have something to live for. But then I think it stops people living the life they would if they didn't think that they, you know, are going to go to heaven and have a big mansion and never have to work again.
Well, obviously there's been a few religious wars, so that's, you know, bad. And, you know, there's been charitable organizations such as Salvation Army that have done many good works. So
perhaps there's no better demonstration of strength and power than, you know, not needing to demonstrate it, you know, not needing to throw it around.
Yeah, that's the definition, right, of humility, is holding your power for the good of other people. So everyone in our culture, because of this story, now dislikes people who are proud. The low place becomes the high place, the place of greatest honour, the place of the servant. You sometimes see this among sporting people, right, who have done these incredible feats, and they're always, you know, they're interviewed after a game, and they can't ever say, "Oh, I'm just really great." And if they do, they're kind of massacred by all of us. They have to say, "Well, I was lucky on the day," or "The other guys sort of set it up for me," that type of thing. That's the attitude that we see as acceptable. It's not acceptable to be sort of boastful. Now, I've mentioned the atheist Alain de Botton before in his book Religion for Atheists, but I was struck by something he said on this topic. He said, among Christianity's greatest achievements has been its capacity, without any use of coercion, beyond the gentlest of theological arguments, to persuade monarchs and magnates to kneel down and abase themselves before the statue of a carpenter, and to wash the feet of peasants, street sweepers and dispatch drivers.
And surely one of the greatest influences of Christianity has been, you know, its regard for the poor and also care for the outcast and the destitute, you know, care for those street sweepers rather than dismissal of them. And this has to be one of the strongest arguments for the positive influence of Christianity. Would that be right?
It totally is. It's not unrelated to the question of humility, but this question of charity. And here's where we keep this discussion on the contribution of Christianity to the West and to the world generally. I think this is a really important, strong point. The fact is, Justine, that the world where the Christian gospel was eradicated would be one where millions of people would go unfed and uncared for every night. Charity is a massive gift of Christianity to the world. There's plenty of people who are, of course, capable of charity without any sort of conscious commitment. But just where these notions of a moral good come from matter a great deal. They have an enormous impact.
So you're saying that these ideas of the good and the moral good, they don't actually come out of a vacuum. We can actually trace virtues like charity and humility to, you know, specific historical eras. They're not just these universal concepts that you just find in every culture.
We don't find kindness and compassion and charity in nature like you find butterflies and trees and so on. They're contingent on beliefs and practices of a culture. There are plenty of cultures who've done well without these sorts of what we think are virtues. So the early church takes from Judaism this important notion of justice for the oppressed. The Old Testament's full of that sort of language. And the church takes that and gives its own slant to it, to charity and universal love and forgiveness over and against condemnation. So long before Constantine, who declared the Roman Empire to be officially Christian, the church had created a system of social assistance that no pagan organization could have matched before this. So once Constantine becomes emperor, the church becomes the first large organized institution of public welfare in Western history. It was an enormous redistributor of wealth to poor people, and encouraged the rich to give to the point of feeling the pain of that. It provided funds for hospitals, orphan asylums, hospitals, hostels, so on.
Right, and so in the West today, people also, we find, you know, they cling to these notions of human rights, you know, economic and social justice, care for people who are down, legal equality, or even just this basic human dignity. In the pre-Christian Western culture, this would have been like a ridiculous conversation, right, because people were born to a particular station.
That's right. It totally is brought about by changes that Christianity brought into the culture. So, you know, from Emperor Julian, who was not Christian, complaining about the Christians caring not just for their own poor but for ours as well, he used to say, there's a long history we could talk about here. The Saint Fabiola, the Christian noblewoman going out onto the streets to seek monies for poor people, from one of my favourites, John Wesley, standing in the snow as an 80-year-old begging for the poor, to my own friends who've gone to South Africa to work amongst children in hospitals there who are desperately poor and in great need. These are ideas of Christian charity that tell us something about what's at the heart of the Christian story. And they've made a heck of a difference to our really broken and divided world.
The Centre for Public Christianity, Beyond Religion.
I was reading Geoffrey Blainey's book recently. It's a short history of Christianity. It's not that short, by the way. But he talks about the rise of modern democracy, very different to the elite version that we talk about in Athens in Greece. But he says modern democracy owes much to the call of the Apostle Paul that all souls are of equal worth before God. He says democracy owes much to that. Also to the Protestant Reformation, giving power to the congregation rather than only to the bishop. And early Christianity's radical declaration from Galatians 3, again from the Apostle Paul, that there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is a stunning vision of human worth and equality that isn't matched anywhere else. It has this lasting impact on how we view each other, how we understand human rights even today, and how, even if we've forgotten why we ever thought about this in the first place, has had a profound impact on our culture.
Yeah, which is a great preview at the same time for next time on Life and Faith. So we'll be looking at this idea of the human person and their immeasurable value and worth. Of course, as Simon has just pointed out, this is a Christian idea as well. So we look forward to having your company again. Join us then.